This is the EWN Radio Network.
You've waited. You've wished. You've hoped. You've dreamed. Now it's time to act. Time to move toward the life you want to live. This is EWN Radio, and you're listening to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with your host, Leslie Green.
Leslie Green, and you're listening to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust on EWN Radio. I'd like you to think back to a time you've been in a situation where you haven't been quite sure of yourself, a little tentative, as if you could play it this way or that, almost like a coin toss. You have no idea which way it will yield the result that you want, but you make up your mind and go for it anyway. And after the fact, if you're happy with the result, maybe you've sat back and patted yourself on the back and you've let out a sigh of relief, whispering, "Yes, love the way that worked out for me." Or maybe you've walked off, shoulders slumped, thinking, "Not my finest moment." First off, let's just say that each of us has found ourselves in this situation at one time or another. And I, for one, would like to feel more of the yes moments than the shoulder slumped moments. But how do we build that characteristic? Today, as we speak with Shannon Pauley, co-founder of Positive Business DC, keep your ears open as she shares exactly how. So throw those shoulders back and get ready to give me your best yes. Shannon Pauley, we are honored to have you on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust today. Welcome.
Leslie, I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, like we said, we start every show by setting our intention so that we are ready to receive the gifts that you have to offer. So let's start with that. May we be open to receive whatever gifts await us during our time together. May we recognize them as such, give thanks, and breathe them in. And so it is. So, Shannon, you're based out of Washington.
I love that.
Oh, you love it. Good. Well, I do love to set an intention in the beginning. Otherwise, sometimes I get a little scattered. So I'm glad that you like that. And I also like for our listeners to be able to bring it down a notch and really be ready to receive gifts, because I believe that that's what our guests offer, are lots of gifts of insight and wisdom. And so I plan on tapping into all of your gifts, well, some of your gifts right now. And so I was looking at, you know, you're based out of Washington, D.C., and I understand that you do a lot of work with Fortune 500 companies in the areas of communication skills and positive psychology. And this whole summer, I've been doing a series on positive psychology. And so while I look into your history, I found your role as facilitator for the Master Resiliency Training Program. So that's for the U.S. Army. I find that so fascinating, maybe because I'm from Fort Hood, which is, you know, largest military base in the free world. So I grew up in Killeen, Texas. That's where I'm from. So when I saw that, when I was reading about you, I was like, "Ooh, I've got to ask you, is it true? Have you really taught over 1,000 Army sergeants resilience? Is that true?"
It is true, and I've actually taught at Fort Hood, believe it or not.
Have you?
So,
get out.
I have. We toured, the fine establishments of Killeen and found some good eating down there. I would say the getting to go on base was probably the most exciting part of the training. I did a lot of the training at the University of Pennsylvania in Philly, and they flew the Army sergeants in from all over the world. But to get to go on post was pretty exciting. And I remember them showing us, you know, the statues of the great big one down in, you know, Fort Hood. And they were like, I was like, "What's that noise?" And they're like, "Oh, they're blowing things up, you know, far, far, far away." It's, you know, larger than a lot of cities in Kansas where I'm from. So it was pretty exciting to be there.
Well, Fort Hood, you know, growing up in Killeen was an interesting place to grow up because, you know, friends would come and go about every 2 years. You know, me being civilian, even though my mother, when she married actually a retired general. So I got to know quite a bit about military life. However, growing up, I grew up pretty civilian. And so your friends would come in and out every 2 years. But what I found particularly interesting, I remember one time we had an Apache helicopter. Maybe it was a Chinook. I can't remember. But one of our classmates in the third grade, Stanley Grant, his father was a pilot, and he landed the helicopter on our playground of the elementary school. Yeah.
Yeah, wow. But it's kind of like the
field trip. That doesn't
happen
on every playground.
No, it doesn't. The field trip, it came to us. And then once the propeller stopped, we got to go out in single file line and, like, climb all in it and have this presentation. So very cool, very cool. And what else is cool is what I'm wondering here is about this resilience training that you would offer to over these 1,000 Army sergeants. What does that even look like, Shannon?
Well, I have to say that it wasn't me. It was through the University of Pennsylvania and through the brilliance of Karen Rivich, who wrote the book The Resilience Factor, along with Andrew Chate. She has spent over 20 years of her life studying resilience and teaching it to teachers to then teach to students. And so her program was adapted to the Army, which was also a train-the-trainer model where they trained and I was part of a large team that trained the sergeants who would then train the privates. And we were part of a hybrid Army-civilian team. And that was a lesson in and of itself, just getting to trying to learn the acronym.
Mm-hmm.
I think it took me 6 months to 9 months just to get a lot of the acronyms down. But a lot of the work that the program is, it's now adapted by the Army, but it's in Karen's book, and really brilliant way of adapting some cognitive behavioral therapy techniques, some of the strategies from positive psychology, gratitude, and a lot of these things that, you know, you would think that Army sergeants would snub their nose at or think this is too fluffy. And some of them did. It was definitely not the most receptive on day one, but luckily we had eight to 10 days with them. So usually when they saw it working, they saw the strategies working with themselves and their families. They were real believers, and it was pretty impactful. It's pretty exciting.
Well, that's what I love to hear about these strategies working, because for everyone listening, we try to take this down to a one-on-one level where you can see, how is this applicable to me? How can I apply it to my life? However, when we talk about strategies and talk about positive psychology, yes, it starts within the individual and radiates outward, just like we trust ourselves first so then we can learn to trust others, and we love ourselves first so that we're able to then give and receive love to others. But one of the things that I would like to point out here, because I thought that it was a really interesting statistic that I read, or fact, not a statistic, but a fact, is that the Army is the largest consumer of positive psychology in the world today. It has plans to train all 1.1 million soldiers in resilience. And so just think about that for a second. If I am looking at positive psychology in myself as Leslie Green, one individual, but then think about how that factors out and the ripple effect into the world, and also thinking about the Army being the largest consumer of positive psychology, it's not just a little fluffy thing. This has teeth. This is really fascinating to me when I read that. It kind of stopped me in my tracks, and so that's why I wanted to mention it. And the other thing that stopped me in my tracks is that you also have a very different side of you. So we're talking about Army, military kind of toughness here, but you also hold a graduate degree from the London Academy of Music and Dramatic Art in classical acting. Now, how about that? I mean, you yourself were an actor, an associate Broadway producer at one point. talk about these opposite ends of the spectrum here. I mean, Shannon, can you give me some I know I'm laughing here. Can you give me some examples of how you've been able to use this unique skill set that you have to work with such a, I don't know, vastly different audiences?
That's a great question. Yes, I think at first glance, it does seem pretty opposite. I did major in theater and went to drama school and was a professional actor for over 10 years. And I think at its heart, acting is about empathy, and it's about connecting to other human beings, whether you're connecting to the people you're on stage with or your audience, or you're connecting to a character. So you may play a character that has some not so nice qualities, and you still have to get under the skin, as it were, and figure out what makes that person tick. And a lot of psychology is about what makes people tick. And I think that what translates to facilitating and leadership coaching and speaking is that ability to read a room and to connect with people. And that's what I found with the working with the Army and all of the audiences that I work with, is that I am really fascinated by people, how they work. And I think I always had a desire to make people happier. And in theater, you can make people happier. But what I realized after a while is that it lasts for a short period of time, usually, except for those, you know, a few monumental productions that people remember for their whole lives. They're happy for an evening. But with positive psychology, I felt that I could use some of those skills that I've learned in connecting to other people and teach people how to be happier for their lifetime. And I actually had a sergeant come up to me at the end of one of our trainings, and he shook my hand and he said, "You're saving lives, which is more important than taking them. Keep doing what you're doing." And I thought, whoa, but I was really moved that he would share that and that it was so impactful for him. So it's been an interesting journey, but I'm glad that I ended up here.
You're saving lives instead of taking them. That is very powerful. And coming from an environment where you may have been met with a little bit of skepticism to begin with in some of the environments, that's pretty telling. Also very telling when you talk about acting is really about empathy and your ability to connect with people. Because, I mean, that's what I believe, that that's why I was put on this earth, was to connect. Sometimes I connect with my voice. Sometimes I connect in writing. But it's, for me, it's what really breathes breath into me is connecting with people. And it sounds like, Shannon, it sounds like what I'm hearing you say also is that whether you're dealing with military, like in the Army, or whether it's acting, it really comes down to people are people, right?
Absolutely. People are people. Yeah, I think that people are often concerned with being judged for who they are, or, you know, I've had corporate clients who are engineers say, "Now, are we different than the other people you work with?" You know, and then the ad agency will say, "So how different are we than the other people you work with?" But people really are, they're people. They're in different contexts, and context matters. And at the same time, there are fundamental things that connect all of us.
Well, today we're going to be talking about a strategy that you have called As If. And we're going to be getting into that in just a little bit, but I like to have every show have a quote. Sometimes we do a mantra. Today we're going with a quote, and I'm going to test you here, Shannon. And if you don't get this right, oh my gosh, I don't know. I don't know if I'm setting this up for failure success here, but you're going to get it, girl. Are you ready? You're going to tell me who said this. All right, here's our quote. I've never done this to anybody before, so you're the lucky one.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Leslie.
You're welcome. Okay. Here's our quote for the day. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. And when things start to happen, don't worry. Don't stew. Just go right along. You'll start happening too. And who do we have there, Shannon? Don't let me down.
Dr. Seuss.
Yes. I went a little silly with the quote today because Dr. Seuss, although it may sound a little like gibberish, there's depth there. And I mean, isn't it, I think that's what we're talking about here, acting as if. So if you've got brains in your head, you've got feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself in any direction you choose. And so I latched on to that, and we'll be talking a little bit more about that when we return in just a moment with Shannon Pauley. Don't go away.
Do you struggle with trusting in your life right now? Is there something that keeps creeping up in your business life or personal life that you're not sure why you're having such a difficult time letting go of it? Or maybe you've experienced something for the first time and it just doesn't feel quite right. Something you'd like to talk over with someone else who maybe isn't quite so close to the situation? If the message of trusting yourself and loving yourself resonates with you, but you feel you'd like a little more, why don't you visit pixiedustradio.com and set up some time to talk to Leslie one-on-one. Right now, she's offering 20-minute complimentary trust consultations to do just that, to dive deeper with you. Leslie would like to better understand what it is you may be struggling with and offer whatever wisdom and strategies she has gleaned over the years to apply directly to your specific situation. You'll be amazed at how much you can accomplish in just 20 minutes. And this goes without saying, but she wanted to make sure you know. Everything you discuss is completely confidential. Leslie's goal for everyone, her listeners, readers, even for herself, is to be able to inch closer to a true feeling of peace in our everyday lives. And because of that, she is happy and honored that you trust her enough to share a part of your life with her. For your complimentary 20-minute trust consultation, simply go to pixiedustradio.com to sign up. All one word, pixiedustradio.com. And now let's rejoin Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with your host, Leslie Green.
Hello and welcome back. For those new to Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust, thank you for joining us. This show was created to encourage you to live your life to the fullest through accessing your love, self-love, trust, understanding what it truly means to trust yourself, knowing that trust begins within you first, and your pixie dust, your belief system. I found over the years that how we love ourselves, trust ourselves, and our belief systems can't be teased apart. They're very much intertwined and enmeshed within one another. However, there are times we can focus more on one, and today we're slanting over to the trust side. So today's show is a little bit more about trust as Shannon Pauley continues to speak with us about acting as if. And this is a strategy you can use to build more strength and happiness, but I believe that it begins with being able to trust yourself first. You have to trust yourself enough to even put yourself out there to act as if. I mean, does that make sense, Shannon? Are you following me with kind of where I'm going with connecting trust and as if?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But maybe let's explain to our listeners what acting as if means, and then they'll get where we are.
Great. Wanted to make sure that you and I were on the same page, because if I'm throwing you, then we're throwing them. So let's start there. Go ahead and tell us a little bit about as if, and let's just dive right in.
So acting as if is a strategy from Stanislavski, who's an acting teacher from Russia, who his methodology of acting has basically been imported to most of the acting schools in the United States. And if you've ever heard of method acting, that's where strategy comes from. Some of his works have been a little mistranslated as they got adapted here, but the acting as if is a clear one, which is that you are trying on new ways of being. So we do this all the time. We do this as we grow and develop, and kids are a great example. So if you have a baby, say my daughter saying ba ba ba, you know, she's about 6 months old, I don't look at her and say, like that bottle, is that what you want? Okay, say it right, and then I'll give you a bottle. No, we say, oh my gosh, she's a genius. She said bottle, look at that. She's a genius. So we sort of help people, babies, children especially, grow into who they're going to be. They're acting as if they're an adult. The other day I was at the I was at a rest station. I was driving somewhere with my family, and my youngest daughter was with me, and I'd spilled something on myself, so I was washing off my shirt, and I was holding my shirt under the dryer to try to dry it off. My daughter looks over at me, and she said to hold her shirt under the dryer because she's trying to be like mommy. And I was like, no, you don't have to. And then I realized what she was doing. So we do this as kids, and actors do this. We know that you can take on a new role by trying it on. But somehow we get stuck in these roles, and people put us in a box and say, you are a business person. You can't be a flamenco dancer, or you are X, and we want to, you know, just keep you there so we know who you are. So I absolutely agree with you that you do have to trust yourself a bit to take a risk to try on something new, and that's the core of the strategy.
Okay. Well, talk to me a little bit about acting as if and being authentic, because I get what you're saying. You know, we, as children, this is how we learn, because as parents, we're modeling all the time, and everybody in our environment around our children is modeling as well. They're modeling as well for our children. But how does that actually work? Acting is acting. So how does it not clash with being authentic?
That's a great question. You know, it's funny because people think that acting equals being fake. It equals being someone you're not. And in the best acting, really you're finding the truth of the character that's also a truth in yourself. So you're finding whatever is whatever you can relate to. It's the actors that are truly fake that you say, ugh, that doesn't land. But, you know, Meryl Streep, you see her on stage and you really believe her because she's found something authentic about the character. So I always... a metaphor I like to use is, you know, it's not authentic for me to go to the gym and lift weights. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. It makes me hurt. And I, you know, I wish I wasn't there a lot of the times. But I'm doing something new. I'm strengthening a different muscle. And I'm trying on the role of being someone who's more fit. And that is a role that I would like to play. So we have to do things that are a little outside our comfort zone in order to grow and develop. And I think that there's this sort of worshiping of what's inside us, sometimes too much, that, well, if I just, I don't feel that, I don't feel like it, it doesn't feel genuine. And I think, you know, it doesn't feel genuine for me to lift weights either. But once I do it, I feel better after I do it. So, and acting, you talk about something that's inside out versus outside in. If I put on the shoes that the character wears and I think, ah, these are the shoes, then I've found the role. And inside out is finding your motivation. Like, why would you want to wear the shoes? So for me, if I'm going to a business meeting, I would be wearing heels because that's where my character, I feel more professional in that, you know, outfit as opposed to wearing sneakers. So does that answer your question?
It really does. And I like the way that you also gave us good concrete examples. I thought it was an excellent example of the lifting weights, because now I can actually visualize what you're talking about and not just understand it from an intellectual standpoint. And then the heels with the business when I'm being a business person. So when I go to a networking meeting, I actually do wear heels. You'll never catch me in them otherwise. And so, or unless I'm walking out on the stage to deliver a speech, otherwise heels and I don't get along that well. And so, but yeah, we do play roles all the time. So I'm thinking about this, the psychologist, Alfred Adler, and he said that as people begin to act differently and to feel differently, they become different. And so in your opinion, is that kind of the same thing as saying fake it till you make it?
You know, that phrase has been, it's been twisted. I feel like, I think at its essence, it is related to that. unfortunately, I think that phrase has gotten a bad rap. So I try mm-hmm. to avoid it if I can, because mm-hmm. I think the word fake in it makes mm-hmm. people really points to the fact that they're, you know, something's wrong with them if they're not being truthful. And honesty is a top strength. We'll probably touch on character strengths later, but honesty is a top strength in the United States, but also all over the world, the research shows. So that can definitely feel like it's violating someone's strengths. But I think what Adler was saying is that it does sort of change you to try on new things, to feel different and to become different. When I became a parent, I didn't know what I was doing at the beginning, but I did start to take on those roles and the, you know, activities of feeding my baby and walking, and then I started to become a mother. It was an evolving thing. So there's another researcher that said, Bem, a social psychologist, that said we also observe ourselves acting in a certain way, and we judge who we are based on what we're observing. So when we do something nice for someone else, we sort of have a little view outside of ourselves, say, oh, look at me, I'm a nice person. I just worked in a soup kitchen, right? So some of it is how we perceive ourselves, and that's also part of the acting as if.
I completely agree with you, too, that it's too bad that fake actually rhymes with make, or else that little saying wouldn't even really exist, but it's an easy one-syllable, you know, rhyming word, because when we hear fake, I think it does get a bad rap. Like you said, fake it till you make it gets a bad rap. But it kind of does sum it up, and I like the way that you went on to explain that a little bit better to us. And I'd like to actually take this opportunity to start talking about some character strengths, because you co-wrote the book Character Strengths Matter. And that just came out in June of this year. Is that right?
It did. We launched it in Orlando at the International Positive Psychology Association conference. And we're very excited. My co-editor, Catherine Britton, and I worked with over 30 different authors and contributors who all donated their time and their talents to writing about all 24 character strengths.
Well, congratulations, because that's a huge accomplishment. And I just want everybody to know that they can find your book. I'll have it on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust, a link to it as well. But you can find it's available on Amazon, Kindle. And I also understand that all the proceeds from the sale of the book will be donated to a scholarship at the University of Pennsylvania in honor of the lead researcher of character strengths. Tell us a little bit about that. Christopher Peterson?
Christopher Peterson, yes, he was the lead researcher on character strengths. He was also helped found the MAP program, the Master of Positive Psychology, Applied Positive Psychology program at Penn, and he was heavily involved in the Master Resiliency Training program with the Army and developing assessments for them. He was an amazing teacher, an amazingly generous human being. He would give money to students if they needed it. He was one of those people that was always really present, even if you were just passing by, a fleeting moment, he was able to be present with you. And when he passed away 2 years ago, very suddenly, the whole community was galvanized to try to do something in his memory. And we started a scholarship called the Christopher Peterson Memorial Fellowship at Penn to help fund future psychology. And that it felt good to start a scholarship, but it didn't quite feel like enough that we had honored him. And so Catherine Britton and I started this project 18 months ago and decided, you know, if we used some of the articles that she curates on Positive Psychology News Daily, she's curated over 1,300 articles. If we looked at what articles we already had for the character strengths, maybe we could pull this book together. So we started, and we're lucky that people were generous enough to support the book. And Marty Seligman, who's the father of positive psychology, has endorsed it. And everyone loves Chris Peterson, and they're happy to help out any project that's in his honor.
Well, that's got to feel good. Warm your heart there.
at least to see legacy such an important thing, and to see legacy go on and have recipients in this scholarship that supports the education of future practitioners of positive psychology, to see that legacy continue through them is a pretty tremendous thing. And so, yes, I'm very excited to read the book. I was able to skim some of it before this interview, but wasn't able to read the whole thing, so that's going to finish out some of my summer reading, which I'm excited about. And at this point, yay, I know. I love to read, and I can wrap my brain around anything positive psychology. So I'm eager to talk more about character strengths when we return with Shannon Pauley in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Sandra Yancey, founder and CEO of eWomen Network. One of my mottos for business owners is, you can't do it alone. Whether you're in the startup stage of your business or you're scaling, you can't grow without relationships to provide support, wisdom, and new customers. eWomen Network is your home to connect with other women entrepreneurs who've been where you are or are experiencing the same challenges. We have chapters across the U.S. and Canada that have monthly events featuring our trademarked process called accelerated networking to ensure you get the contacts, resources, and leads you need to grow your business. And once you become a member, you get many benefits, including 2 one-on-one coaching sessions, unlimited access to our membership database, your own personal profile page, and discounts on products and services with our business partners such as UPS and American Express Open. Join the eWomen Network community and let us help you live your dream. For details, visit eWomenNetwork.com.
Hello, this is Leslie Green, and you're joining us today on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. You can listen again and share this episode with Shannon Pauley on Acting as If, a strategy for building strengths and happiness, on pixiedustradio.com. Now, before we went to commercial, we started talking about character strengths, and Shannon had shared with us that there are, you know, these 24 qualities out there that have been identified. So maybe, Shannon, can you tell us a little bit more about character strengths without first listing them? Just tell us what is a character strength, and then maybe tell us what some of those are.
Sure, absolutely. Well, they were, they spent about 5 years, the Mayerson Foundation, which is located in Cincinnati, led by Neil Mayerson, and it was actually his idea to commission a project of this size. They wanted to find out what were things that were inherent in us, that were virtues, core virtues. And these 6 core virtues were made up of these 24 character strengths, which you would find them intrinsically valuable and stable over time, so they don't change that much. You could probably find them, you know, made famous by in story or song, nurtured by institutions. And a few examples are love of learning, love of learning, curiosity, creativity, kindness is what I was thinking of. And what's amazing about the research on character strengths is that they are ubiquitous, which means that they're actually, they occur in people all over the world. So they've taken this survey and they've given it to people in the Maasai Mara, and they've translated it into pictures, and they've taken it to the Inuit in all sorts of regions all over the world, and they found that the strengths that are the most in the United States are also the most frequently occurring all over the world. So kindness, honesty are some of the top strengths in the United States and all over the world, and also the least frequently occurring strength, or the lesser strength, like self-regulation, is also less frequent all over the world. So it's a tool for how you can what people value, what brings you happiness and well-being. But some of the research has also shown that if you use your character strengths in new ways for just a week, it leads to people being happier up to 6 months later. So anyone can take the survey on viame.org, viame.org. And the amazing thing about this survey, they could have charged, like StrengthsFinder does, $10 to $20 for a survey, but it's completely free. So at viame.org, it takes about 35 minutes. You get a list of your 24 character strengths in rank order, and and it gives you some suggestions for how you could try to use them in new ways. So, for example, kindness is one of my top strengths. And when my father retired from almost 40 years as a doctor, I you know, kindness, if I give write people a birthday card, it doesn't make me that happy because I do it all the time. But for my dad, I wanted to pull positive stories from all of his colleagues, and I put it together in a book. And I got about 100 different paragraphs from people highlighting, you know, him in the operating room, him hunting, and different sort of paragraphs and things that I never even knew about my dad. And I gave it to him for his retirement. And obviously it made him happy because he wasn't expecting it, but it also made me happier because I was using my strengths in a new way that I'd never done before.
And when I think about these character strengths, some of them, and I didn't look over all 20, actually I did look over all 24, and I remember that a couple of them stuck out as almost like anomalies to me, like prudent, being prudent. You know, I didn't think of that as a character strength until I really stopped to think about it. I wouldn't have put that in there, you know, kindness, honesty, forgiving, loving, being authentic, because we've talked about being authentic, Shannon. Those stuck and brave, those stuck with me, but prudent didn't really. And then persistent was like, well, yeah, persistency, you know, having a level of tenacity, that's really cool too. So there were a lot in there. And what I think is so interesting is that it goes back to what we were saying before. People are people. The ones that we ranked high in here in the United States, you all found that to be true in other parts of the world. And the same with the character strengths that weren't as predominant, right? So people are people.
Exactly. And what's interesting is when they submitted the research to a journal, Chris Peterson said that it wasn't accepted because they thought, well, where's the data? It's just the same all over the world. And he said, no, but that's what's amazing is that, you know, people think that someone in Azerbaijan is so different than I am, but really we're just the same. And and I'm glad you highlighted prudence as an interesting strength. It's funny, Chris tells a great story about a student who came up to him and was not happy that prudence was one of her top strengths. And he said, yes, yeah, prudence doesn't sound very sexy, does it? And she said, no, it doesn't. And he said, well, what do you want to do? And she said, well, I think I want to be an accountant. And he said, well, prudence is pretty sexy for an accountant.
Yeah, I'm all over that. Prudence is pretty sexy for an accountant. Oh, that's funny. I like that. I like that. And when I think about character strengths or just strengths, I also tend to, my mind flips to that fact that I've heard that, you know, we're hardwired with a negative bias, and which really, I think it's there to serve us, to make us to want to improve. But I wonder, is that why we focus so much on our weaknesses versus our strengths, in your opinion?
Absolutely. That's a great point, Leslie. We're hardwired to look for what's wrong and what we want to fix, and we deem that kind of feedback as better or more, you know, critical or thoughtful, when in reality the research shows that when you focus on what you do well, you perform much better than when you focus on what you don't do well. There's research from Gallup that managers who focus on their employees' strengths, only 1% of their employees are disengaged. If you focus on their weaknesses, about 22% are disengaged. And if you ignore them,
huge.
About 45% are disengaged. Yeah, it is huge. We're motivated by our strengths. We're hardwired to do things that we like doing. And you're more willing to be persistent if you're doing something that you do well.
Now, Shannon, I'd like to bounce back to as if for a little bit, because I want people to understand, you know, kind of how they can get this into their everyday lives as well, the whole acting as if it doesn't feel very genuine to them. One of the things that I saw that you said was that an excellent way to act as if is to read aloud. Talk to me about that, because I do a whole lot of that and have always read a lot to my children out loud when they were younger. I'm talking like the entire Harry Potter series. That's like hours and hours worth of reading aloud. So tell me, why is that an excellent example of showing somebody what as if looks like?
That's a great question. That's one of the principles of our book, Character Strengths Matter, is that you can learn to embody those strengths by reading what Chris Peterson and Marty Seligman would call a model or a paragon of that strength. So in the book, we have speeches and monologues and poems from various people to help embody the strength. And when you take on someone else's words, you start to the meaning behind them with the intention behind them, like the intention you set today, and you start to connect with that person who embodies that strength. So we have, you know, a speech from Oprah, her acceptance, Emmy acceptance speech that highlights kindness when she's talking about her dad. And we have a speech from Mother Teresa. And then we have, some monologues from Shakespeare. And those were written with people and characters who embody those strengths. So it's like trying on a jacket, trying on a new jacket. When you're putting on that business suit to go to that networking event, putting on your heels, you're stepping into it. And there are all sorts of things that reading aloud does. You get better vocabulary. You start to you really embody it physically. You embody it because you are speaking the words, you're hearing yourself say them. It's a whole host of things that happen all at once.
I imagine that it improves your listening skills by quite a bit, too, the person who's actually the recipient of listening to the person reading aloud.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a tradition that we've lost. You know, in Shakespeare's day, they used to read everything because no one could read. They used to, listen to the town crier, and that's why Shakespeare's plays were, 3 hours long. We have a shorter attention span. But that's a skill that we've lost, and it does help you connect, help you imagine. It engages different parts of your brain than, watching a video does.
Yeah, because silently you're not really taking anything. I mean, you're just taking in that text with your eyes only, and it's not as engaging as if you were able to speak out loud, and now your auditory senses are stimulated as well. And I'm also thinking that what I'm hearing you say, that if there is a strength out there that we think that we might be deficient in, and it's something that we would like to improve, that we could actually take a speech or a piece of literature, but I think like maybe a graduation speech of somebody who's been really inspirational, and we could just practice that over and over again, get the intonation down, get the feeling of it, and then we're actually starting to embody it, and therefore that character strength is rising in ourselves. It's kind of just a way of self-improvement.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I would think, your background as a speech pathologist, you probably know more than I do about how all of those things connect to each other and connect to physically embodying something.
Man, that was so many lifetimes ago. I forgot that I was a speech path. That was like my first job out of school down in Mexico City. That's what I did. Interesting.
Oh, wow.
I was hired to help people reduce their accents. And so, and although people tell me I have an accent, what are you talking about? I might be from Texas, but I don't have that much of an accent, do I?
Very slight, very slight. But you have to have one to get by in Texas.
Okay, I'll buy that. All right, well, I'm Leslie Green, and Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust will continue in just a moment with Shannon Pauley. Don't go away. Be right back.
Trust talk making sense, but you'd like to learn more? Do you learn better through story rather than step-by-step instructions? For some things, step-by-step instructions are a necessity. But when it comes to the softer skill things in life, things like learning to trust yourself and love yourself, the gentle nature and subtlety of a story can be a much better teacher. In Leslie's book, Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust, available in Amazon, shares 50 true stories, all with loving yourself and trusting yourself as the main characters. You will also find chapters on letting go, finding your inner strength, the gift of surrender, even an entire chapter dedicated to pixie dust.
Yes. In case you're stumped, Leslie comes out and tells you what the pixie dust actually is and how you can apply its magic directly to your life. Not just another inspirational book full of feel-good stories. This book has teeth and will provide you with a practical approach on learning to love yourself and trust yourself. To find a place of inner peace. Take a spin for yourself. Read the first chapter completely free. Leslie's gift to you. Visit her blog, trustlifetoday.com, to receive a free copy of Chapter 1, You Are Not Alone. Or go directly to Amazon for your very own hard copy or ebook version of Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. Begin today to experience the magic within. And now, let's rejoin Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust with your host, Leslie Green.
Hello and welcome back. Thank you for joining us and spending time with us today. As always, you can always catch this episode on pixiedustradio.com with Shannon Polly as we're talking about acting as if, a strategy for building strengths and happiness. And at this point, I'd like to talk a little bit about mindset. It seems like on several shows over the summer with Michelle Gielen, with Michelle McQuaid, with Louisa Jewell, we've been talking a lot about our mindset. And that's when I ran across some information on your website. And let me go ahead and tell people what it is now, Shannon, and we'll repeat it again. But it's positivebusinessdc.com. Because remember, she's located in Washington, D.C., so positivebusinessdc.com. And one of the things that I ran across on your website, which I was really intrigued about, was this work coming out of Stanford from Dr. Carol Dweck. And she talked a lot about fixed mindset versus growth mindset. And I see how that has a lot to do with acting as if, how you can kind of get stuck in this fixed mindset that I've been labeled as such, and now I need to act as such, instead of a growth mindset. So first of all, could you tell us a little bit about how you would differentiate the two if you had to explain it to people?
Thank you. That's a great question and a great connection you've made between acting as if and mindset. What she found is that a fixed mindset, people believe that intelligence is fixed, your IQ is what it is, you can't do much to change it. And people with a growth mindset believe that you can grow your intelligence, you can improve, and you can get better. And it's also domain specific, which means that I might have a fixed mindset about my ability to cook perfectly crafted meals like my mother did. Mm-hmm. And I might have a growth mindset about starting my own business and co-editing a book. So, It could be different depending on what area you're looking at. But what she found was fascinating, which is that people who have more of a fixed mindset see failure and success in different ways. So fixed mindset sees failure meaning I'm not talented, I don't want to try too hard, I don't want to take a risk. If something's challenging, it means that I'm not good enough. Whereas growth mindset says, actually, it just means I need to work harder, and I just try harder next time. So when she tested this in students, she found that people with a fixed mindset were more likely to cheat, they were less likely to take risks, they were less happy in when they were making effort, and that they saw effort as failure. Whereas people with a growth mindset were willing to work harder, they saw effort as connected to learning, and less likely to cheat, and we're more successful in sports, in work, and in life. So it was a revelation to me when I learned about it in the MAP program, which was just the way of looking at something. And as parents, what we do to children, we think we're doing a good thing by saying, great, thumbs up, nice job, you're the best. Mm-hmm. But that actually engenders a fixed mindset. Something specific that they've done well. You're only saying you're a star. And so then they interpret that as, well, if I'm a star, I don't want to mess that up. I don't want to try too hard and take a risk because I might mess it up and then mommy doesn't think I'm a star anymore. Mm-hmm. So So the better way to do it is to give specific things that someone did well. So I saw you painting, and you were actually using all four colors in different parts of the paper. How interesting. What color do you like best? And asking them a few questions and commenting specifically on what you saw so that it shows that you are watching and that you are authentic. And it gives them something they can repeat, because if you're a manager and you're giving feedback to your employee, if you don't tell them what they did well, they don't know what they did to be able to do mm-hmm. it again.
Right, because good job is, you know, it's pretty ambivalent there, almost. I mean, it ambiguous is actually the word that I was looking for. It's really ambiguous. Good job. That
right.
doesn't really tell me much of anything. It's kind of
right,
like, well,
right.
okay, good job at what? And
exactly.
Yeah, and also I think that, you know, so this whole, I don't know, when I think about fixed versus growth, I mean, I think some of us are just wired a certain way, but even if we're wired to have a mindset to be fixed, let's say, does that mean that we're doomed?
No, and that's a good question. Feel that way at once when I was learning it. I thought, oh no, I hope I can bust out of this.
Mm-hmm.
She actually, Carol Dweck actually has a mindset questionnaire where you can test your mindset, and you can, just by learning about the difference between mindset, people have been known to change their mindset. So journaling is a good way to think about what kind of mindset do I have in this specific area if I feel stuck. If I were to think about it in a new way, there is a growth opportunity here. And also, there may be certain tasks you perform that cause you anxiety. You could think, you know, is this mindset that's affecting my performance? How could adapting a growth mindset help me? So also being around other people who just see things in different ways. So back to my cooking metaphor, my mother is a great cook and has written a cookbook, and so I think I could never be as good as she is. But then I hang around people who cook fresh ingredients, and I look at them and I think, oh, well, maybe I could do this. Maybe I could, you know, pull out a new recipe. So it's also, you know, trying to be around people who have a different kind of mindset than you do.
Mm-hmm. And I loved one of the things that I saw on your website that you said, any of us can literally change our lives simply by changing the questions we ask, specifically those we ask ourselves. We can ask questions that open us to learning, connection, satisfaction, and success, or we can ask questions that impede progress and keep us from getting the results that we want. So asking things, these are kind of your examples here, asking what great things could happen today creates very different expectations, moods, and energy than what could go wrong today. So it's almost like you're priming yourself one way or the other.
Exactly, exactly. My husband and I have taken this on, and we'll say, you know, what are you looking forward to today, as opposed to what do you have going on or how busy are you? And it really does shift. It really does shift what you're looking at. And even with my kids, at the end of the day, I'll say, so what was the best part of your day? As mm-hmm. opposed to a neutral question, what happened today, which then can go negative because we are hardwired with a negativity bias.
I mean, how many times have I myself said, well, how was your day? Fine. What happened? Nothing. It's like I need to get more clever in my approach to asking questions if I want to get some meat. Otherwise, I'm getting nothing but stale, nasty oatmeal that's been cold and sitting on the counter for 2 days with a fine, nothing. That's what it feels like to me, this big lump of oatmeal of nothing, absolutely nothing. And it's important to note here, I want people to know, I'm glad I'm making you laugh. It's important to note that this stuff is not new. The stuff that Shannon is talking about specifically with Dr. Carol Dweck here, this stuff has been tested for over the past 20 years. So this isn't new information yeah. that we have here, but yet so many of us have this mindset, myself included, that sometimes I just get a little stuck because I allow life to get busy and I'm not present. So that's one thing when you were talking about Christopher Peterson that you had said about him is that no matter what he was doing, he would stop and really be present for people. And I really wish that I could get there. I'm working on it. I'm trying. It's a hard thing to do, especially in this age where sometimes, unfortunately, but it's the truth, my phone gets more attention than other things around me, and other than my dog. She gets full attention. But other than that, sadly, it's my phone. And yeah, I think that it's just indicative of this world that we live in. I mean, do you find yourself kind of in the same mode there? Because your kids are younger than mine, I think.
They are. They're pre-K. And I do find that the phone is a challenge. And when I'm coaching clients, I have, you know, regardless of the level of, you know, executive or down to manager, phone and email become an issue of one of our coaching sessions, mm-hmm, at least. And I think sometimes it does take a bit of a growth mindset to look at how to manage email and how to let go of that, how to trust that, you know, the world will be okay if I don't answer this right now. And just some of the brain research that's come out about how it's causing us to be distracted, about having your email inbox open when you're doing other things lowers your IQ by 10 points.
Oh, my gosh.
It's true.
Yeah, no, thank you.
It's true.
I'll pass on that.
Yeah.
No, thanks. Well, Shannon, you've shared so much with us today. I know that I've gone back to this several times, people are people, but what I mean by that is we're so much more similar than we are dissimilar. We, every time that we look at somebody else and think that they are so different from we are, I would ask you to look at it maybe from a different angle, and you'll see just how similar we all are. Doesn't matter where we're from, what gender we are, or anything. We are so similar in so many ways. I also loved when you talked about the lifting weights in terms of acting as if and really taking on something that may feel a little disingenuous, but in the end, we're growing that muscle literally with the lifting the weights, but we're also growing that as if muscle to grow into something that, you know, who we were put on this earth to be. So I just wanted to thank you so much, Shannon, for being on today.
Thank you so much for having me, Leslie. You are a very inspiring host, and thanks for trusting and putting your gifts out in the world.
Well, I sure do appreciate it. I love what I do, and you can connect with me. I would invite you to meet us all over on the Facebook page, Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust, where we have an entire community of Pixie Dusters. Let us follow your progress. Nothing is more rewarding than knowing that we've helped spread more love in the world and have been a part of helping you to begin to think about trust a little differently, learning to trust yourself first as you act as if. I want you to know that you can find Shannon Pauley, all of her information, her website, positivebusinessdc.com. You'll also find her LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter. It's all on pixiedustradio.com. You can even share this episode with a friend. So I want you to remember a little bit of Dr. Seuss here. One quote that I didn't mention, and this is in all caps, topped off with an exclamation point at the end, when he said in the same book, You'll Go Places, or The Places You'll Go, is, kid, you'll move mountains. So think about that. You have brains in your head. You have feet in your shoes. You can steer yourself any direction you choose. And when things start to happen, don't worry, don't stew. Just go right along. You'll start happening too. And if that sounds like a bunch of gibberish and you have no idea where to begin, relax. It's Dr. Seuss. It's supposed to sound like gibberish. No, I'm totally kidding there. If you really have no idea where to begin, reach out to me seriously. This is the stuff that I live for. We'll see you again next Wednesday at noon Eastern, 11 a.m. Central. And until then, my prayer for you is this. May you lead your life by love and live your life with trust. Let go
and know that a greater outcome is already yours. Amen.
Thank you for joining us today on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust. We hope you enjoyed the show. Would you like to find out more about what it means to love yourself and trust yourself? Well, don't wait until next week. Go visit TrustLifeToday.com, where Leslie has been sharing about love and trust since January of 2011, which is a long time in the blogging world. Long enough to build up a hefty supply of resources just for you, making Trust Life Today the ideal place for you to visit between radio shows. The site is full of articles on not only loving yourself and trusting yourself,
information out,
but also on forgiveness, letting go, celebrating life, and much more. Visit TrustLifeToday.com. Poke around. Leave Leslie a message. Let her know how she can better serve you. And while you're there, why don't you sign up to receive original writings? Only about 2 per month, so nothing that will be too taxing on your inbox. Thank you again for tuning in today. We look forward to having you back next Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time on Love, Trust, and Pixie Dust.
This is the EWN Radio Network.